Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Moon, Moo, and You, the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving-Shank, and Joan Adams and I host this show. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. Our guests this evening are Carol Wingert and Mr. 2020. I'm not sure, but I think this is the second time Carol has ever been on Blog Talk Radio. So Joan and I are honored to have her on with us this evening. We will be discussing practical enlightenment and seeing the God or goddess in everything, which to me is like saying seeing the beauty or the love in everything. Joining me now is Joan Adams.
And
hello, dear Joan.
Hello. It's great to have 20 and Carol both on the show. That's fantastic. Especially with you and Carol writing about the same thing this morning. That just fascinates me. I'm anxious to ask her about that.
I think that is hysterical. I mean, the way how, and your sister wrote to me and said that she was thinking about beauty and had looked out the window and saw something beautiful, and then she went and read the prayer. And so it's just total synchronicity. I think we're all sort of plugging into the same kind of vibrational field now.
I think so. That's wonderful.
Well, now, 2020 and Carol are not yet on the lines, so we will just continue yakking away.
Oh, good. Okay. You don't think they forgot about us, do you?
No, we've been chatting,
earlier
we
today.
Had just really recently about... I forget exactly what it was about, but they're certainly aware. So you know how it is. Sometimes you can't get in. Oh my gosh!
Oh, I know.
Struggling to
get
in, and yeah.
But I did go for a walk and look for something beautiful.
And I'm sure you found it easily in that part of the world.
Well, everything is really dry. Well, it's still winter. Oh, it's just winter time. That's all. But I decided that my golden had to be it. And then I thought about you and yours, and I thought, well, okay. Well, that's just where I am, so that's fine. Everything is bare. I'm ready for springtime. I am so ready for springtime. But I did my little walk, and that counts. I can check that off of my list for tonight.
Well, I was thinking today about beauty and looking out. It's we're having a January thaw, and everything is very brown. And
yeah.
I really think I saw a lot of beauty. I don't think I did. I saw a lot of beauty with the beautiful clouds and the sun filtering through and watching my dog bound along and all that great stuff. Took him for a walk, and now he's exhausted.
Well, I felt like Oprah today. You know, Oprah always says on her thank you list, she says, I can find something to be thankful for, even if it's a squirrel.
Well, actually, so magnificent. Mr. 2020 is on the line, so let me bring him on. Good evening to you.
Good evening, Kate and Joan. How are you two?
We're great.
Wonderful.
Great. How about you?
Something fascinating. We had trouble logging in.
Yeah.
And it was really, really weird. When I look at the themes that we're working with here, anytime we set up a course or a training or, anything we get involved with, if we're really getting to this kind of play like we're talking about today, seeing the divine and everything, one of the things that I notice is we tend to have interesting opportunities to really to walk our walk. And when I couldn't log into my computer gave me a hard drive error, and then I couldn't get into the show. And you know, now we're here, which is really, really cool. So you know, we just had the opportunity to experience a meltdown and notice how fast do we return to noticing how cool everything is.
Yeah. Well, we've got to decide how cool it is that we have no chat room, too. So I think probably BTR must be having some problems tonight.
Interesting.
I actually have a chat room now. Yeah, that's so true, though, 20, because I have to say, I now do call in to Blog Talk Radio a little earlier than one time. I just made it, like, by the skin of my teeth just before it started, and I was like, oh, it's sort of terrifying. You know, you're just like, oh, my God. And then you're on, and everything's great. It is an opportunity to walk the talk, you know. It really is. Really
mm-hmm.
is.
It's a lesson in flying by the seat of your pants.
The leap of faith.
Absolutely, absolutely. I noticed, you know, so many people, if we're talking about, like, seeing the divine and everything, I'm working on a talk right now that I'm going to be giving to Unity Church next month.
Mm.
And it really fits in with tonight's topic really well, because one of the things which I am really, really into that I don't always talk about is really experiencing what we are. You know, and I really do believe in the old Native American thing of, you know, the spirit within all things, the spirit that moves through all things. You know, Jesus Christ said that the kingdom of God's within you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think it's really, really cool, like, you know, for a show like tonight and just sort of seeing, you talk about seeing the divine and everything, you know, having that opportunity to get that, you know, even when we're having our meltdown here, there's a part of me that, you know, it usually remembers during a meltdown that, you know, everything is divinely perfect. Everything is, you know, literally God. And it's a neat opportunity to just, you know, so many people think, you know, once you start to get enlightened, for the lack of a better term, that everything's going to be perfect. And as far as I can tell, that's not the case. You know, everything will give you the giggles, perhaps, or everything gives you the opportunity to really explore, you know, am I looking for a cop-out? Is that why I want to experience enlightenment or be saved or, you know, whatever you're into personally? Or do you really just want to live with, you know, a higher level of awareness, knowing that your life isn't going to be perfect when you see the divine and everything?
Yeah, you still have to carry wood and, what is it, stack wood and carry water kind of thing?
Right.
Yeah.
Chop wood and carry water. Yes.
We are living a human experience.
Yeah.
There's no getting around that. And we do like to be warm, so we carry the firewood.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no matter where you are on your path, you still got to chop wood and carry water. And, we Carol and I, we explore this world as seeing the divine in everything. And, you know, it doesn't make life, you know, let's say ideal, but it is. It's the perfect expression of what's showing up.
Yeah.
Well, I want to jump back just a minute now. When you speak to the Unity Church, are you recording that? And will that be available?
I hope they do. I know the last time I was down there, they were recording all the talks. So, I'm doing a talk and a training down there. So I know the talk will be recorded. The training, that'll be up to the participants, whether or not I can record that. But if it's available, I'll make sure that you know about it.
Yeah, please do. I would love to hear that. Really would. I love Unity services, and the nearest church to me is about 35, 40 miles into the city, and so I don't get there often. But I have a little study group here. But love to hear anything that goes on at a Unity church. I think that's wonderful.
Cool.
I would love to hear that. Of course, love to hear you anyway. So. But yeah, staying in the flow.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think though, if you know, you see the divine in everything, it takes the punch out of the angst and the misery, you know, because people are suffering all over the place. And I think that somehow you're on a higher vibrational plane when you do see the divine in everything, and you see the love and the beauty and everything, and which puts you in a place where you are able to understand that this is not forever. It's changing. It's not going to last forever. And what does last forever is the divine, but what doesn't last forever is the this life, basically.
Exactly. You know, I really like the quote of the Buddha, where the Buddha talks about alleviating suffering and the cause of all suffering being illusion. And, you know, in the Bible it says not to build your house on sand. You know,
right.
Sand being what isn't. You know, Peter was instructed to build his church on the rock, essentially. And, I could share a little bit about the talk I'll be giving down at Unity, because this fits in so well. If we ignore or deny God, essentially we're trying to rely on nothing. If God is all that is, and that's essentially what the Native Americans said, that a lot of other old cultures have said the same thing, and again, that's part of what Carol and I experience here and share here is, seeing the divine in all things. If that's the case, but if I, as long as I rely on that, I understand suffering is temporary. Suffering is based on me losing it because I'm falling for illusion versus, staying in, the, not the presence of God, but understanding that I'm always in the presence and that I am the presence of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's everywhere. It truly
absolutely
is. And it's as we get older, I think, we forget less and less.
Yeah, I think that. I do think there's some maturity issues here.
oh, yeah.
You know, that we learn a little bit more about what is lasting and what is not.
Right.
Better grip on that. And some of those old scriptures start to make a little bit of sense.
Yeah, stop taking things for granted.
Mm-hmm.
That's important. Yeah. Living in the here and now, living in the present moment.
Yeah, that's what I think is so cool, because we're always in the present moment, but we can pretend we're not.
Well, if we try to, we try not to be, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, my body's always here, but I can pretend I'm not here. But, my body's here, my soul's here, everything's here. But if I pretend I'm someplace else, it just doesn't seem to work out all that well.
Pretend them to be in the future or the past. Yeah,
yes.
That's interesting. Call your spirit right back here, right here and right now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Is Carol, what's Carol up to?
Carol is cuddled right up next to me here.
I'm trying to listen to, she's got the headphones on, and I'm listening to you through the headphones.
Hi, Carol.
Hi,
yeah,
Carol.
Hi. I'm thinking to myself now, where is Carol?
We're joined at the head right now.
Joined at the head.
Welcome. Welcome. Nice to hear your voice.
Bev is in the chat room with a question, you all.
Oh, what did she say?
That there's sometimes even a blessing in the suffering.
Absolutely.
I would think so. In fact, there's probably always a blessing in the suffering. And we're trained to kind of kick it in the, get resistant.
Oh, but sometimes
so
that's
forth.
So hard to see.
Well, I think it's a training, isn't it? It's a mind training.
Oh.
You know, a wise old mentor of mine told me that pain is pain, but suffering is optional.
Yeah.
And I thought, that makes sense. Earlier my back was hurting a little bit, but, that's pain. I can deal with pain, but suffering's an option that goes along with that.
Even in severe loss.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
Boy, I gotta go.
Sometimes there's lessons in in suffering too. And if you learn the lessons from it, then maybe you'll suffer less the next time. Or not
yeah.
at all.
Oh, no. That's, okay. I just am thinking of a severe loss we had. My brother died too early, too soon. Finding a blessing in that, I'm not there yet. And that's been 20 years ago. To find lessons in it, yes. Have I grown? Yes. To find a blessing in it, I'm not there.
My sister died right after we graduated high school. I had a twin sister, and she drowned at the river
Ooh.
3 days after we graduated. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize back then, I'm thinking on the lines I do now, and everybody thought I was crazy because she was better off where she was at that time, that, you know, that she had drowned, because she would have suffered the rest of her life with the guy that she was with. So there was a blessing there. I mean, it's, you know, when I was telling people, I'm 17 years old and telling people my sister's better off dead. But, you know, they just didn't understand that she would have lived a life in hell with this gentleman. Well, he wasn't a gentleman, but you know what I mean? I mean, she was better off. So there was a blessing there. I would have rather, I mean, it was terrible to have her drowned, but she was better off. I wouldn't
wow.
want to see her suffer in life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's hard to get to, Carol.
I know. I know. It's different.
Yeah.
Could I share
yeah.
a story from when we lost one of our cats last year?
Sure.
One of your cats.
Yes.
I remember that. I remember that.
When back, you know, a little bit earlier in time, back in 1989, when I was a hostage in the Campbell prison riots, I died. And, you know, that led to a whole series of experiences where I really got to experience this divine in all things way of perceiving reality.
Mm-hmm.
But when I came back with what I had experienced and what I understood, I had no problems with death after that. And it's almost freaky the way I have no problems with death, because when people die, you know, and I'm with family, their family members or friends, it just doesn't affect me like it affects them, because I have an understanding of what happened after I died and how that affected me when I came back. But when our friend Taz died last year, it's almost a year right now, I think.
It was
a year on the 12th. I was really, really messed up over it. And it really, really hit me deep. And part of the reason why was, I had my experience of what happens to us as humans when we die. And I came back and I remember and I experienced enough that, death to me is an illusion. And so when it comes to humans, I get that. But when it came to animals, I didn't have any data. So I literally, I walked around here for, you know, quite some time, really, really just, you know, we were wondering what happens when animals die, because I had no data on that. I had no experience on that. And one of the things that was really interesting from that point onward, we noticed that our cats that are still here, you know, literally started, you know, playing with him. You know, we would notice different things that let us know Taz was still around. And it was the weirdest thing. I mean, some people would say, oh, that's hokey or BS or whatever. But it's been a really neat thing because, I mean, literally for, you know, a number of weeks, and even my mastermind calls, we get on our mastermind calls with Todd Silva, and I just, you know, I was just crushed, you know, and I was sharing some of this on the mastermind call. I just couldn't get in the gear with anything after that. But it was neat because the blessing that came through that, even though there's a lot of suffering involved and a lot of doubt and just wondering about things, I stopped and I basically just, you know, had to literally ask, you know, I need my eyes opened. I need to see what's going on here. I need to notice what's going on here, because I don't have any, yeah, at the time I didn't have any experience of what happens after animals died. And even though it was a huge loss, and you know, it still is in a way, the blessings that came from that experience and helping, you know, helping us understand what happens, you know, after, you know, a little four-legged trusted friend, you know, someone who we know and love dies, you know, we got to experience stuff around that, which helped us again to grow and to explore, you know, just, you know, how neat and how multifaceted this experience here on Earth is.
Wow.
Well, yeah, I can certainly relate to that because, you know, my dog Mukunda died on the 6th.
Yes.
And he died in my arms, and my other dog Ulysses was right there, and we had that animal communication show last week that was stunning.
Amazing.
About how the dog's chart was exactly the same as it was when he was born, and then there's this thing about my own mother and how she is in communication with me through these dogs, and all this kind of stuff came out, well, a little bit later, because Sheila, my, you know, the astrologer was going through, I'm sort of blabbering here, but anyway, she went through her notebook to get the charts of the dog, and her shirt got stuck in the binding and her sweater, so she was trying to get it loose. She realized that there was my mom's chart, and she was best friends with my mother, so she took it out, and she noticed that the exact configurations that were in Mukunda's chart and in Ulysses' chart were exactly to the same degree as my mom. So there was this idea that, and which to me sort of proves that the people who die, and you're very close to, may very well be communicating through your animals. And that just blew my mind, because I never really thought about it like that before. And so anyway, Ulysses was there when Mukunda passed, and he is totally okay with it. Animals are so much different about death than humans. I mean, he never looked for him. He did. He does sometimes wag his tail when he sees him in spirit. When he first died, he stopped and let Mukunda in the door first. But he's pretty much adapted to the fact that he has me all to himself, and he thinks that's pretty cool.
I've got to ask you a question, Kate.
Yeah.
Did you say that your dog's chart was the same when he was born as when he died?
Yes. And I said to Sheila, I'm sure you have done many death charts in your life, and she has. I said, have you ever seen that before? And she said, no. So the moment and the fact is when he died, you wouldn't have believed what that was like. It was like, whoom, whoosh, right out of the room. It wasn't like I felt the spirit, like when I was with my mother when she died and with my aunt when she died, there was this feeling of all, you know, this all pervasive light in the room. You could feel the spirit sort of there, but not in the body, but there in the room. He just left so fast. And spiritually, it was astounding.
Wow.
So it was. Yeah,
I've got something I want to share with you, which is absolutely, it's one of those things that gives me goosebumps. Okay.
Yeah.
This is where I say buckle up, because it's going to get good. So, Yogananda, are you familiar with who Yogananda was?
No.
Totally, I did his lessons and everything.
Okay, Yogananda's first name when he was born was Mukunda.
Yeah, that's why the dog is named Mukunda.
Okay. If you look at the date in which Yogananda was born and the date which he died, both of those dates add up to 27.
Wow.
So numerologically, the day he was born was identical to the day that he died.
You're kidding.
No. I'm looking right now on the computer to confirm what I know that I know, but I'm looking at this right now.
Well, especially since, like I said, there's this incredible link between the dog and Paramahansa Yogananda, too.
Are you familiar with Yogananda's birth date?
Yeah, Yogananda was born on the 5th of January, and Mukunda was born on the 10th.
Amazing.
Mhm. Well, that's very cool. Yeah, it is very sweet. Oh, my God. The fact that you would even bring that up is very intense.
This is how we live here.
Yeah, absolutely.
I totally agree. It's the only way to live, actually. Totally.
Yeah, because I have no question about the dogs and the folks that have gone on before us. And in fact, we laugh, you know, if I see a butterfly, I know it's mom. If I see a hummingbird, I know it's my brother. And it's been that way since the day they died. It wasn't something I created out of nowhere. Mel spoke to me in a hummingbird after he died, right in my face. Unbelievable experience. But
what did he say, Joan?
That he was fine. Everything is fine. Did you read The Shack?
Not really.
In The Shack, when the father gets to see the child that has died, and the child is, you know, on the other side or whatever, and that is the message that child gave that father in that book, and that the book was, I read that last year, was the very same message Mel gave me 22 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Everything is fine. Everything is fine. Tell everybody not to worry. Everything is fine. But when I read the book, I almost dropped the book because the words were, and I can't remember the exact words, but they were the same. And I recognized them. I thought it was like a reassurance, a message of reassurance. It's like, you know, all is well and all is well and all is well, and you're the one that's going nuts. I'm fine. That whole thing, you know, that, and the, oh, I just have no doubt about that with the animals at all. And both of you are saying, Twinny, you're saying your cat played with the cat that was gone, right?
Oh, yeah. And they still do.
Kate is saying that Yuli is playing with Mookie still. And, Bev is saying her grandmother's a bright red cardinal. Kate's saying that her dad's a crow. That one, my dad would call that the sweet singing bird. That's what he called his old crow. I'd have no doubts about those things, which is interesting to me. So, yes, we do choose to suffer. All of that to get round to that. That is a choice.
Mm-hmm.
That is a choice. Because they're fine. It's us having the problems dealing. And that I don't have any problem understanding that either. The numbers, and I wish I hate to be dense here, but I'm being dense, and maybe we have listeners who are as thick as I am. 20, go back, repeat your story that you said this is going to knock your socks off. And then I have a question about that, and I'm not sure I can get words around it. But if you'll say again what you said.
Yeah, what you want to do if you're the way I do a basic numerological, you know, assessment is you take all the numbers in your birth date. So, for example, Yogananda was born January 5th, 1893. So we add up the one from January, so we go 1 plus 5 plus 1 plus 8 plus 9 plus 3, and those add up to 27. And we do the same thing for his date of death, which was March 7th. So we go, 3 is for March, so we go 3 plus 7 plus 1 plus 9 plus 5 plus 2. And, different people have, different things that corresponds to, but that essentially makes Yogananda a 27 slash 9, because you'd add the 2 and the 7 together. And depending upon, who you're referencing, it seems as if most, or if not all, 27 nines have some very strong parallels. And it's really interesting because, you know, very rarely do you find someone that dies with the same number as when they were born, like Yogananda did. And, you know, apparently just like Mukunda's chart, you know, having the same, you know, configuration at birth and death is just fascinating.
Another thing about Mukunda the dog is we got him on March the 7th. He was
really?
Born on the 10th. Yeah, he was born on the 10th of January, and we got him on the 7th of March. So that's another little tie-in about the.
Yeah, I was wondering if your date, if your Mukunda had that same 27-9.
Well, I'm not sure. But I do know that somehow the configuration of the birth chart and the death chart being exactly the same kind of, I mean, in other words, I didn't add that stuff up. But we do know that the birth and the death chart are identical.
But yeah, and I know that there's something special with that dog. See, I know that in my heart and soul. I just, you know, as far as I'm concerned, and I've known that, I knew that before Sheila did her chart. I mean, I've always thought the dog had a certain gift. My daughter has something. I don't know. I'm anxious for you to meet her because, you know how sometimes you meet somebody and you think, even children, and you say, that child, that person is connected. My granddaughter's that way. She's like, she's got one foot in either side. And I've always felt like Kathy did. Connected in a way that's beyond normal humanity. Do you understand what I'm talking about? 20, do you know?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, where you meet someone, you go, ooh, and I don't read auras or anything. I just feel stuff. You know, I don't stuff. But I understand something about my daughter and about my granddaughter that is a little bit different. And neither one of them are, you know, these outstanding human beings. I don't mean that. And they are to me. But I'm talking about a spiritual connection that is beyond the norm, that they're not even seeking.
Absolutely.
That just is, because they are. And I think that's true of some animals also.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that.
Yeah,
we
I do too.
Yeah, that we understand those things. I always tell my daughter-in-law, we're going to watch this one. I'm going to see what she's going to do because she's going to be fun to watch in a different way than their son, who is going to be a fun child to watch grow up. But the granddaughter has some kind of a gift. I don't know yet what that is. It'll be fun to watch. But I've seen Kathy Adams. I have seen my daughter literally pull dolphins out of the ocean by looking at them, by calling them.
Yeah.
You know,
cool.
Just she connects with the dolphins on some kind of a spiritual plane or something. I saw her do that as a child. Stand on the side of the ocean and say goodbye, dolphins, and they jump out of the ocean like they're saying goodbye to her, and you'd want to cry because you could feel it. It sounds trite to tell it, but you could feel that it was beyond a serendipity. It was something powerful happening there.
Beyond, you know, speaking of dolphins and Yogananda, Yogananda had composed a lot of chants that are very, very beautiful. And one time we were staying at Rehoboth Beach at a beachside sort of place with a balcony overlooking the ocean. So I took my violin out there and just started playing one of his chants. I think it was called Divine Mother. It was called the Divine Mother, and I just played it over and over and over, and all of a sudden dolphins just came that very part, and they're like 100, and then 200, and then 300, and they were just like out there. My husband is a total dolphin freak, so he put on his swim trunks and went running out to them, and I just kept playing so that they would still be there when he got out there. And and he had his experience out in the ocean with a dolphin, and I just kept playing. Oh. When I stopped, they dispersed just like that.
Oh, I love it.
That was so awesome.
I can see Carol down there now taking pictures.
I can see me standing there crying. I'd be just bawling.
Yeah. Oh. That would have been the perfect picture. Well, maybe we should sync that
reenact.
One up sometime.
Yeah.
I think that would be easy to reenact because they respond to. That's not something that.
They were responding to the music in some way. But see, it's amazing to me that they heard it over the sounds of the waves. So.
Yes.
Yeah. Something
really.
Had to
be really vibrational. Yeah.
Uh huh. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Really.
That's
really amazing.
That's beautiful.
The world is so cool compared to what most people think. You know, all those little miracles, all those neat little things, and most people will, like when. Carol and I, when in the summertime, we walk the bike trail pretty much every day, and you guys have seen a lot of her photos, and it's like how many people pass the same plants and the same animals, and they miss what she's picking up just because she takes the time to notice it, and just like how you took the time to share the chant with your violin, and notice the dolphins and notice everything the way it comes together.
True. Absolutely true. I needed Carol walking with me today. I was out searching for beauty because she and Kate both wrote it this morning. Did you know that?
I saw that. That was amazing.
I just
was
floored.
On the same wavelength.
Oh.
Yeah,
and
I
knowing
think that
you both are in meditation and you're in that kind of a connected state anyway, and that's who you are. But for you both to say virtually the same thing, the same morning, I was just astounded of it. I'm going out to find some beauty today. Powerful stuff.
So cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we're all getting on the same wavelength. And certainly things just aren't like the suffering and the pain of the world is just not the same. When you are in that space as much as you are, it's possible to be, And just getting back to the death of my dog, he was in pain and he was struggling to breathe, but he was not suffering at all. And I think we can just learn so much from the animal kingdom and the way they live, the way they love. It's total love. It's total communication, and I don't understand why people have to. Well, it's just the lessons that they have to learn.
Well, with the dogs, it's total trust too.
Yeah.
Really? Yes. And we haven't started. As far as I'm concerned, we have not scratched the surface with the dolphins.
Getting warmed up.
Oh. I just know they're the angels of the sea. I know that. And we have not even, we don't have a clue. we went to swim with the dolphins in Marathon, and the folks there work with children with severe disabilities with the dolphins. And that is just fascinating to watch or to read. I read more of it than I actually saw. But, they connect. They connect with these children. And I saw them, my husband is blind. And when he, in this particular exercise, you would swim out. And then they would send the dolphins to come get you. And you'd grab the fins, and come in. Mm-hmm. And he swam out. And I'm just holding my breath, And the girl sent the dolphins out to get him. And they eased up on either side, and he's reaching for the fins and couldn't find them. And those beautiful dolphins came back and forth and back and forth until he had those fins.
Oh.
And then they brought him in. I mean, I stood there and watched it. I could not believe I was seeing it. But they knew he had not grabbed hold.
Yeah.
And they will
wait. They're the most helpful, most astounding creatures in the universe.
Well, I know you've heard the story about the lady that swam with them, and the dolphins kept going back and forth in front of her stomach, and that's usually a sign of illness or something wrong when they continually concentrate on an area like that. And she got home and went to the doctor and found out she was pregnant.
I was going to say that. I bet you she's pregnant.
Yeah. I love that. Betty is not a 901 number, no.
Okay.
She's a 706. 901, I don't know who that is.
Years ago, I used to do a lot of energy work on people. And I had this white cat that I'd lay people down on the bench and, you know, basically work on them for about an hour. And every now and then the kitty would sneak into the room. And this beautiful little kitty would always either lay down or jump over where they needed attention at. And
that's fascinating.
It was so cool because I'd actually have to tell her sometimes, I'm getting there, honey. I got to work down here a little bit right now. She would you know, make sure I understood where I had to go in case I wasn't going there. Or she would sometimes lay down. And oftentimes the clients that were comfortable with the kitty, I'd just let her in the room. And, you know, they would always talk about an immense heat coming from her when she was laying on them. And, you know, again, the universe is just way cool. You know, it's... You know, we try to bore ourselves to tears. We try to deny how cool it is and how cool we are. And gosh, you know, all we got to do is notice. We don't have to assert the world's cool or assert how cool we are. We just, you know, gotta, you know, do what we're designed to do. You know, notice, you know, the divine in everything, and, you know, notice what we're being shown and given every single moment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And
well, I believe these animals help us to do
mm-hmm.
it.
If we
they
listen,
help us so much, yeah.
If we pay attention, they will. And there again, it's about being still.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. if Carol goes out for a fast walk in the morning and to mark her walk off her list, then she doesn't take any beautiful pictures. Because
exactly.
she isn't being present, right?
Yep. She's not doing what she's designed to do, or, you know, giving to the world like she can.
Right.
I love
the
name of your that blog, As I Photograph God. That is that's a great title.
That is a divine inspiration, is what that is.
Yeah.
You know, it took us. How long did it take us?
Oh, a long time.
We tried all sorts of different names, and it was like, that's not it. That's not it. And then we're just talking one day, and she kept saying,
"I want everybody to see what I see. There's just so much beauty there, and people. I just want them to see what I can see through this camera. I want to capture that picture and show them, but I want them to see what I see.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I didn't want another word I could use for that. So we would have talked and talked and talked and trying to figure it out, and it just dawned on us one day.
Yep, just popped in and." You know, that was it. You know, I photographed God.
It's totally perfect.
We're not that smart to come up with it. You know, we came up with all sorts of loser titles. Oh my gosh, you know, GoDaddy made a ton of money off of us with the goofy ones. You know, but I photographed God is like, that's cool. That's it.
That's divine. Yeah, you absolutely received that.
Oh,
yeah.
You did not create that. You received that. I love it. Love it, love it, love it.
I did, too.
Perfect for that blog. Yeah, and anybody else would have been doing the search terms and the da-da-da-da-da. Like me.
Yeah, I don't know about... I still don't know about this keyword manipulation.
I've been doing this since 2002, right? And I've done everything wrong. But I'll tell you what, the things that have really worked for me is when I've really just stuck with the essence. You know, if I really, because people are looking for something, I mean, you can do all your keyword research, and that may be useful. But when it all comes down to it, they're looking for the essence of something.
Well, don't you think, too?
Yeah.
Let's put it this way. you can create the keyword that people will want to start searching on. Like, I photograph God can become a keyword. You can
create
the keyword.
It will, because people will be talking about it.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
You know, just because it's that wonderful. Yeah, that's more viral than keyword search, right?
It
Absolutely.
Will become such, yeah. Have you and Carol, have you and 20 seen Avatar?
Oh, yes.
It is interesting how people might, you know, I call it the post-Pandora depression syndrome, where, I mean, I can understand where people get a lot of their kicks nowadays by not even going outside into nature. You know, they go to movies or they play video games or they hang out in the computer, or do all kinds of technological stuff, and they're not really. And you go to something like Avatar, which is probably the most absolutely gorgeous film ever made, and I don't see how anybody could ever top something like that. And you know, it's like people think, oh my gosh, that's so beautiful, and then they see their own life as being very drab. That's very sad.
And it's all because they don't take the time to notice what their life really is about and what's here.
If it's stop and just stop and notice. It's out there. They're just not looking. Not that they're not looking in the right place, but they're not stopping. You know how the old adage, you know, stop and smell the roses? They're not stopping, you know?
Fast, rush, looking at the clock, blah, 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 going so fast that you have absolutely missed your life if you continue like that. So, you know, I guess they've slowed down enough to get to watch Avatar, which is an epically long film.
Oh, is it?
It's about 3 hours.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It goes, it is, Joan, it is worth seeing. It is really worth seeing. Now, you know, I'm not saying that it's all the producer and creator of the film, John Cameron, can't help but throw in a lot of violence, and he can't help but throw in a Terminator scene and crap like that. But then the storyline is the same old storyline that you've seen millions and millions of times. But behind all of that stuff is this absolute message of communication with the trees and with nature, and this absolute perfect, you know, the world is within and without, and it is a real, the divine is perfectly replicated there. It's a beautiful, beautiful film, but like I said, the director does throw, I mean, the creator just throws in all kinds of crap here and there, but it's not as overwhelmingly crappy as I thought it would be.
Yeah, I couldn't get past the violence. I did not like all that violence because everything was pretty and they messed it up, you know?
Yeah, it's really just total Hollywood. You know, Hollywood films, no matter, I mean, this is probably the best Hollywood film ever made, but he just couldn't resist putting in a bunch of crap, you know?
Yeah.
they never can. First of all, they never understand metaphysics. They don't understand reincarnation. They don't understand. They just don't understand. But there is a little bit of understanding on his part, more so than I've ever seen before. So it's a step ahead. It really is.
You know, it's really cool with Avatar. It's sort of like The Matrix and sort of like Star Wars. That's setting the stage for the next 20 years. And we talk about, you know, our little grandkids, you know, and some of these little babies being so. I mean, you can feel them. You can tell when you talk to some of these very young people that they have an immense spiritual awareness that a lot of adults you may never have this time around.
Oh yeah.
And you know, it's cool when I look at me growing up. You know, if I would have shared, you know, what I experienced growing up with the adults that were around me, I probably would have been burned at the stake. And when I look at things like Avatar being popular now, and even like Matrix and Star Wars, when you look at what these movies are setting the stage for, you know, these little grandkids and little ones now, by the time they're teenagers and adults and beginning to come into, you know, the opportunity to really express some good stuff, they're not going to have that fear. Being 10 years old in the 70s, I learned to keep my mouth shut, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these kids now, I mean, they're growing up in an atmosphere where it will, in all probability, be much more acceptable to say, you know, I lived before. You know, I used to live in this town before. Or, or I talked to Grandma. Well, Grandma's been dead for a couple of years, but, you know, she still stops by. You know, we talk.
Yeah.
You know?
And not to mention, too, Star Wars, people raised on Star Wars believed that it was okay to go to war. Avatar is a distinctly anti-war film. And
absolutely.
People are going to start thinking that war is not the answer. I mean, I don't know why they didn't get that idea before, believe me, but wow. It is so appalling, the mentality of going to war. It's ridiculous.
Well, if you follow David Hawkins back in the 80s, you know, he says basically it was in the mid-80s when humanity actually became integrous. You know, before... I forget the exact date. Before a specific date in the 80s, you know, mankind was pretty much motivated by pride for centuries. And after a specific time in the 80s, we got to the point where we started to be motivated by integrity. And you can see so many things that have happened since that point in time, like the Berlin Wall falling and, you know, integrity showing up in business so much more compared to the way things used to be run like back in the 50s and the 60s. And I think it's cool because it's really inevitable that we, again, open our eyes and realize, you know, war is not the answer. You know, treating the planet like a second-rate being is not the answer. You know, we're all, you know, like the old Native Americans, it is the spirit that moves through all things. You know, the more we respect, you know, the spirit that moves through all things, the more we respect ourselves, and the more literally everything's going to open up for us.
I think that it will, the end of corporations is something in the future too, you know, because they don't have integrity. And the thing that's moving through all of this is doing the right thing, and corporations are not doing the right thing. So this kind of thing will also, come to the end of its life cycle, I think.
We're missing a couple of very wise statements in the chat room too. Bev's talking about, and I think she's talking about the movie still, about being an analogy of what we humans do to life.
Mm-hmm.
And Carol Betty's talking to you about a skunk she saw on a trip to the mountains, scurrying along the road. And she wished you were there, I think. It's like a picture of a skunk.
Oh, I'd have jumped out and tried.
I know you would have. go ahead.
Did you guys hear my story about the tarantula when we were down in Texas?
No.
No, no.
Okay, we're on the back roads in Texas, you know, and I just wanted to try and get as many pictures of, you know, neat things as I could. Well, we drove down this back road, deserted, and there's a tarantula walking along the road. So I told him, stop the car, you know.
Oh, no.
So I jump out, and I get back, and I got these real cool pictures, you know, close up and everything, and turn around, hit it back to the car, and he told me it was chasing me. Well, no big deal. I got my pictures. I don't care. I can run faster than him. But I found out a few hours later that they can jump like 8 feet. Now, had I known that, I probably wouldn't have got the picture.
Oh, my gosh. So this beautiful creature was actually chasing you?
Uh-huh. He was running after me.
He didn't have to tell his picture.
He could have jumped. You're right.
Yeah.
He could have jumped.
But
he wouldn't have.
He could.
Don't you just love it, though? That's the beginner's mind for you. I mean, in the sense of not knowing is the best way to be. I mean, even in Avatar, you know, that character who was the guy who the people of Pandora chose, he was the guy who didn't know anything. He wasn't a scientist. He was just, he went into it with an open mind. That was a good part of it, I thought. And taking pictures of a tarantula, that's perfect.
I think I have to see that movie. I haven't seen the movie since Yaya Sisterhood, but it might be time. I think Sheila told me last week it was time for me to go to the movies. So.
Well, you know, no matter what, with all the pluses and all the minuses with Avatar, it's definitely going to set the stage for something for the next 20 years. You know, in technology and the theme is obviously getting out there. So, you know, we might as well, you know, check it out and embrace it the best we can and allow that to be. I mean, you know, no matter what. I mean, even though Cameron put all that violence in there, there was still a strong essence in that movie, which is going to affect a lot of people.
Oh yes, like I tell people, it's not the story, it's not the violence. There's something so amazingly beautiful about the respecting the planet that you're on.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that the trees do speak. Trees are the most amazing living beings, and so is everything else. Everything is so alive. And that at least Avatar is pointing that out to people, where people may just miss that too. They seem to think that they've gone to a movie to see a storyline, but I think the story is absolutely irrelevant, except for the anti-war theme. But, it's setting the stage for a lot of interesting things in the future.
Absolutely.
And we're just so fortunate to be alive. I mean, there's just no doubt about that. It's thrilling to be alive right now.
Yeah, it's an interesting time in history to be alive. And like Twenty said, these young kids, they're not going to hesitate to say, to tell about their experiences. And goodness, when I came along, you didn't dare. And I was probably 40 or 50 years old before that was okay. Times have changed. Times have changed. And that's, even in the 80s, I was very careful who I talked to about the hummingbird. You know, when male died.
Oh, yeah.
I did not say that out in public. I said it to people that I thought would understand, and here I am saying it on the radio.
Yeah, thank God. It's great. I love that. That's a perfect analogy of how things have accelerated and how so much open things have become. I mean, I am now able to do a lot of hands-on healing at work, and I can do it openly because it works. You know, I can, because the work that I do on my patients calms them down. They absolutely, it's so much more powerful to be able to, you know, synchronize and resonate and all those wonderful things and help people to relax than it is to just give them a bunch of drugs. So,
oh, absolutely.
And that's it.
But it's back, Kate, isn't it, to the old-timey TLC, and we've talked about that before. You know, the old country docs would come to the house, and their very presence brought healing with them.
Right.
You know, they did that by their love. They loved their profession. They loved people, and they brought that sense with them. And I think, yes, I think that's coming back, and I think that's a powerful thing. Because I think we've gotten too dependent also on science, and we've forgotten how much of this healing we can do ourselves. No,
yeah,
right.
It's so true.
Yeah, I mean, you walk into a room and you're carrying so much. I can't imagine that a patient wouldn't feel that from you. You know, that you're walking with that love in you, and it's a piece of who you are. And so you walk into a room, people automatically feel better. Right?
Yeah, I really do wish more than anything in these hospitals that people weren't watching terrible, violent television shows.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they would heal, they would sleep, they would be much more relaxed. And people keep these shows on all night long. So I really think that it's really extra hard to have a healing environment when you have shitty TV on.
you said
very well.
You know, Carol's got a solution for that, which we'll be unveiling shortly.
Oh, good. I'm so excited.
And
please let us know.
We will definitely keep you in the loop for that.
Thank you. We have 20 seconds left on the show. Wow.
Too fast.
It was
really
fun.
Thank you for having us on.
Delightful. Always wonderful to be with you both.
Yes. Well,
thank you, too.
Real blessing.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful folks. We're thankful for you.
Yep. And
for
we're happy
sure.
that you can come on our show. That is just beautiful.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
It's one of the highlights that we look forward to. We were talking about it smoking cigars this morning in the tent, so it's wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
So, good night. I'm going to be playing the music for Mother and Child by C.D. Jensen. And you can go to www.musicformotherandchild.com and buy his music. So thank you all. I love you all. Thank you.
Night, Kate.
Good night.
Good night, Carol.
Night, Joe.
Good night.